That primarily we look to God's word, and I want to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 24. And a man was asked in the street one day, well, what is the two biggest problems in the world today? And he replied, and he said, I don't know and I don't care. And the man said, you've got it absolutely right. As far as spiritual things are concerned, it's ignorance and indifference. And that is so true today. And if you look at verse 39, where we read this morning in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is speaking about what's going on before Noah entered the ark back in Genesis. And it says he did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wonder what you think of our society, our world. It's a mess, isn't it? Wherever you look, there's a mess. It's not getting better. I don't think the greatest atheist would disagree with that. And you might think, well, how is it all going to end? Or is it? It's just going to carry on, like they tell us on the TV news that they're planning for 500 years and 1,000 years and all is going to happen. And all. Well, they can say that. But of course, the Bible says very differently. And I believe with all my heart that I am holding the most up-to-date possession that you can ever hold. I have in my hand the eternal Word of God. And I believe that God's Word can be absolutely trusted. I believe this is God's letter of communication with us. We've often said, haven't we, what good would it be if we... I hope we believe that God created the world. If you believe in evolution, I will say that you have no evidence, and I'll gladly talk to you afterwards about that. I did a study on evolution some years ago, and you will find absolutely not one shred of evidence. Even Darwin didn't believe it. And he was the instigator of the book, The Origin of Species, 1856. I believe in a God of creation. I believe that we have billions of miracles of life all around us. We're a miracle of life. You have got unique DNA. I told you before, when we were in the prison just recently, I said, you've got unique fingerprints. I said, bad news that was, mate. That was bad news. But you see, we're unique. Now, just taking it from an atheistic point of view this morning, you say, well, how do you know this is God's word? Well, it's going to be a work of God's Spirit that will prove that to you. But actually, let me tell you this much, that if you go back even to the 1380s, John Wycliffe was the one who wrote the Bible for the first time in the English language. So we've got the Bible in the English language in 1380. And if you look in the Bible, you think, well, how did he know? If this is man's writing, how did he know what was going to be going on in 2019? Answer is, he hadn't got a clue, and nor would you have, and nor would I have. I haven't got a clue what's going to happen in 50 years' time if the Lord hasn't come again. So to me, to see what Jesus says is paramount importance this morning. And we listen to men. And if you trust every man who speaks about all kinds of things, you've got more faith than I've got, I'll tell you that. But the Bible tells me, in the New Testament alone, 318 times, that Jesus is going to return one day. This world isn't going to go on for years. I don't think it's going to go on for another 500 years. Now, I can't be certain. You say, well, when is Jesus going to come back again? I don't know, and I'll tell you something else, nor do you. Because God the Father is the only one who knows. The Bible tells me that. But 318 times in the New Testament, it tells me that Jesus is returning. He's not coming back to a manger at Bethlehem. He's not coming back to a cross at Calvary. He's coming back for those in that particular generation who know him and love him, who are trusting him. And he's also going to bring with him those who have gone before, whose equal, whose trust has also been in Christ. But what the Bible has given us, and God has told us, that there are clues. We don't know the date, but there's clues. So that Jesus says, you know, and he was answering the disciples' questions, of course, in Matthew chapter 14. How's it all going to end? Well, you don't know. You won't know the date. Don't believe anybody that tries to tell you a date. But I'll give you some clues. And there's certain clues, and there's a long list of clues, which we're not going to go into this morning, but you'll notice this phrase this morning. And he says, as in the days of Noah, verse 37 of Matthew 24, as in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man, that's another name for Jesus, will be. So what's going to happen? Well, how do we know Jesus is going to come again, and roughly what sort of timing? Well, the only thing we can do is to go back in the Old Testament into Genesis, and you go back to Genesis, particularly chapters 4, 5, and 6, and you look at certain things, because you will know that there in Genesis, we read about this man called Noah who built an ark. And he built an ark, and people thought he was foolish in doing so, but God had told him, and God had given him the plans, and he worked for many years, 120 years, in building this ark, and they all said, why are you doing that? It is supposed, and I think rightly so from Scripture, we don't read about rain. It's supposed that was probably some sort of canopy, a moisture of canopy above this. So these people are walking around saying, what are you doing now? You're building an ark, this massive, great thing, which, what for? Well, God is going to judge the world. You don't really believe that, do you? A lot of people this morning, if we went out on the streets, maybe some here, and you say, there is going to be a day when this world is going to end, Jesus is going to come, and God will judge man. I don't believe that. Well, I do, because God has told me in his word. I do believe it. If there is no judgment, if there is no heaven, if there is no hell, actually, we might as well all go home now, because I'm wasting my time and so are you. But I don't believe that, because I believe this is God's word. And one day, God will judge this world, as in the days of Noah. Well, what was it like? Now you're getting worried. Now I'm going by that clock at the back this morning because it says 12 o'clock. And it's been staying 12 o'clock for the last 2 weeks. That one says 11:15. I'm going to move. I do tell you. I'll tell you in advance. I want to give you 7 very short points. Underline the very short. All right? 7 signs. What's going to happen? Genesis 6. Look at Genesis 6. If you've got a Bible, go right back. The beginning of the Bible. Easy to find. Verses 5 and 6. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The first one, they were days of secular philosophy. Days of secular philosophy. In some versions, you may have one of those versions that refers to man's imaginations in his heart. If you go back to the original Hebrew, you will find it really means this, that man, prior to the flood and prior to God's judgment, as far as Noah and the ark was concerned, it means to fashion society, fashioning or molding as a potter molds clay. Doesn't that ring a bell? In 2019, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be when Jesus comes again. Prior to that time, what's going on? Well, we're living in days like that. There's wicked philosophies, and people are seeking to mold us into those philosophies. You have to say that freedom of speech seems to have gone as far as Christians are concerned. You mustn't hold any values. You tolerate everybody. Nobody has an absolute anymore. Secularism rules. And it starts, sadly, in our school classrooms. And it seems that the only people it's acceptable to mock are Christians who believe the Bible. Some of you, I've said before, and it's a while ago, in fairness, but the man they now call the father of the House of Commons, Ken Clark, was on Question Time some time ago, in fairness. And he said this, and I quote, fundamental Christians who deny Darwinism are the same as Muslim extremists. Ken Clark. What a statement. Don't believe it. Noah lived in days of secular philosophy where people were molded into thinking anything except God. You don't really believe there's going to be judgment. You don't really believe that's going to happen. You don't. Now, what are you on? 2019? We're being moulded into philosophies which were totally against the word of God. Second, days of scientific progress. You say, hang on, Steve, you can't stretch that one. I can. Go back to Genesis chapter 4 and what happens here in verse 17. Well, first of all, we read about cities. It says Cain knew his wife and she conceived and bore Enoch and he built a city. And then, if you go to verse 21 and 22, beginning of verse 22, we read going down, this is not Cain's brother, but the brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and the flute. So they've got music. This is right back at the beginning. And then in verse 22, and as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. So you've got builders who are building cities. You've got musicians who are playing music. You've got craftsmen. And don't forget, of course, Noah himself. He's building this ark. God's instructed him to build an ark. He's faithful to God. He believes God. He believes God's word. And so he's building this ark. And then the dimensions, I'm sorry, I'm an old money, but most of you can understand old money here. It was 450 feet long. And it was 150 feet wide, and it was 45 feet high. It's longer, by the way, far longer than a football pitch. And Noah had to make that without going to Wurzel at Jewson's, I have to say, as well. And it was not designed as a ferry boat. Some people say, well, it couldn't have moved very far. It didn't have to move very far. All it was designed to do was to float. It wasn't going to go from A to B. It was just going to float. It wasn't designed to travel. And it withstood, of course, with God's enabling and God's planning and Noah's jolly hard work. With his sons, they built this ark and they put pitch on the outside to keep it watertight, and it withstood the greatest storm that history's ever recorded. There are days of scientific progress even back then. I don't really need to start to tell you about scientific progress in 2019, do I? Because you could tell me, well, man's walked on the moon. That's back in 1969. Now, that's a long while ago. Computers everywhere. Medicine advances. Some are awesome and some are frightening. And so we could go on. We talk about blackberries and apples. We're not talking about fruits out of the fruit bowl anymore. We're talking about electronic devices. And we've got our iPads and our iPhones. And you name it, you can get it. Actually, it's a great help for a preacher. I mean, if you're stuck on something, you just Google it, don't you? That's wonderful. My father never had that privilege when he went preaching. They're days of scientific progress. Well, they're all here, just as they were here in Genesis. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the return of Jesus comes. Days of social plague. Thirdly, what about this? Chapter 6. Go to Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 to 13. The earth was also corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Full of violence. Cain, we know, was a murderer. If you go to chapter 4, the end of chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, you'll read there of a man called Lamech who got in a fight. Where are we? 23. Lamech had said to his wives, notice, plural, hear my voice, wives of Lamech, listen to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. And so he'd been in a fight, he'd been wounded, so he turned around and killed the other fella. And so you have this social plague right back in Genesis, before the flood, before in the days of Noah. There's violence. There's a social plague of violence today. Daily murders. How many days do you go without hearing another knife crime in 2019? And we lock the doors, don't we? We lock the doors because and as I said the other Sunday, it's very. I think many of us think twice about walking the streets of Ipswich at night anymore, let alone London and other places. And of course, there's, as far as politicians are concerned, there's no real human answers. They're striving to to do this. They're striving to have an amnesty on giving in knives and giving in guns and everything else. The problem is not, the problem is the human heart. It's sinful, the Bible tells us. There's no human answer. The only answer they've got is the one they've abandoned. It's God. And so as a result, we get films on the television and say, even before they start, they say, well, this film contains violence and this confirms drug. Why do we advertise it? I can't quite work it out. When I was a sales rep, I've told you many times, I used to sell biotechs. That's an exciting thing. I used to get to these sales meetings and they used to say, Steve, stock up your customers because biotechs is coming on television. Well, you can imagine my excitement, particularly as a Christian. But I will tell you this, that I sold three times as much biotechs during the time of the television advert. Don't tell me that television doesn't influence the mind of man, because I don't believe you. It does. Otherwise, why do people advertise on television? And we put films on. Oh, well, we can put violent films on. We put a little warning on at the beginning. They're violent. You'll have all kinds of things happening. There'll be drugs on this and everything else. And what do we do? Instead of that, the opposite is because we don't want to pray in school anymore, and we don't want to use the Bible in school. Praise God for James's opportunities and the opportunities we've had for 30 years in these local schools. But there's loads of schools. We had a pastor here a year or two ago from Kent, and he said, I can't get in any of my local schools down in Kent. They wouldn't let me in because they don't want to know about the Bible and they don't want to know about prayer. And that's true of many schools in our land today. And when the Cape and Ray students came over and came in the assemblies with us in these local schools, they said, wow, you're allowed to pray in assembly? We're not allowed to do that in America. Because what's happened, we've shut God out of the schools. We don't want the children thinking about anything like that. But you're not allowed to pray. A doctor who prayed with a patient got the sack. How sad is that? Discipline. Ooh. I'll tell you the problem in this country, that discipline has been confused with abuse. There's a very great difference between the two. And what's the result of all this? Forget God. We know the answers. We can live independently of him. Actually, you can't, because he gives you the breath that you breathe. As a result, I'll tell you the result. Watch the news today, or tomorrow, or the next day. You see, we're in days of social plague. We're in days of secular philosophy, in days of scientific progress, in days of social plague. And I have to say, and this is where I'm not going to be PC, but I believe it, and I'll tell you why I believe it. And before you say I'm homophobic, I want to tell you that I am not. If you are here this morning and you have desires for people of the same sex, you are very welcome at this church. If you are here this morning and you are a husband of a wife, and you have desires for your next door neighbor's wife, and they're in your heart, you are here, you are extremely welcome. If you have desires this morning in your heart to thieve continually, and it's in your heart, and you've come to church this morning, you are extremely welcome. Do you know why? Because this church is a church that welcomes sinners. That's why I'm in the pulpit. But what I have said, as far as God is concerned, there are things which are wrong. And I'm sorry, but we are hearing our society many things. The fourth thing is the days of sexual perversion. Because if you saw Question Time, for instance, on Thursday night, you will have seen a man ask a question to the panel. And he said, what do the panel think about my 4- and 5-year-old children learning about same-sex education in schools? And if you've seen the result that the BBC have had, they have been an avalanche of complaints as to even allowing this man to ask such a question. And that's the state we're in today. Because we're calling wicked good. We're gagging people because the agenda of some people leads us to think we can do exactly what we like, rather like the last verse in Judges. And there's all things. Let me just turn, because you say, well, where's that in Genesis? It says, as in the days of Noah in Matthew 24. But do you remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 and verses 26 to 30? Let me just take time to read it. As it was in the days of Noah, so also it would be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate and they drank. They married wives. That's another thing, of course. You know, you know that one. We'll have another one. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, it's also true in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the day that Lot went out of Sodom, which was this wicked, evil city, which were doing all kinds of things like we're seeing in our society today, same sex, all the rest of it, God rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be when the day of the Son of Man is revealed. If you don't believe that God's word is true, remember what I said at the beginning? It was written for the first time, handwritten into English, by John Wycliffe in the 1380s. You just read when you get home Romans chapter 1. It tells us what's going to happen in the last days, that men will be with men and women will be with women. And it may be, as far as the law of the land is concerned, and sad on David Cameron for saying that the greatest thing he ever got out of his time as a prime minister was the adoption of marriage of same sex. He didn't do a very good job on Brexit either. That's beside the point. It's a tragedy. I say, I love everybody, and we've all got all kinds of temptations going on in our lives. But we have to say it's wrong as far as God is concerned. This is God's word. I want to take notice of what God, I'm going to face God one day, and so are you. I want to be faithful. I'm not going to be PC this morning, because my longing is that you'll get right with God. That's the most important thing. As in the days of Noah. You see, we're all sinners. We've got these seeds in our, and as I say, I have sympathy with people here, maybe this morning, and you have those desires, all kinds of desires, whether it's in adulterous relationships or same sex, or you might want to murder somebody. I've had moments like that in church meetings. But, you know, they're desires in our hearts, as in the days of Noah. Secular philosophy, scientific progress, social plague, sexual perversion. I'll just say in passing, selfish prosperity. I don't need to explain that, do I? That's our world today, isn't it? Let me move on quickly for the sake of time. Sixthly, Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. Days of solemn preaching. Chapter 6, verse 13. God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." That's what God said. What did Noah do in response to that? I'll tell you what. If you read, and I won't take time to read it, I'll give you the reference. It's 2 Peter 2, verse 5. It says, right near the end of the Bible, looking back on Noah, it says, God saved, this is the Wincole Revised Standard Version, God saved Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. Noah's family, 8 of them were in the ark. 8 of them trusted God. 8 of them believed that God was going to judge the world. And the ark was finished. One door, one window. Don't believe all you see in the children's books. And it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So as well as Noah getting this ark together, he stopped every so often when the people came round mocking him and said, "I want to tell you what's happening. I want to tell you about God who actually loves you and longs that you'll be in the ark with me." But they mocked and they scoffed, but he was a preacher of righteousness. And he kept on preaching, kept on preaching. They kept on laughing. They kept on mocking. They said, "It's my life. I'm going to do what I want to do with it." And that's exactly what's happening in 2019. And then the sudden panic, the seventh SP, sudden panic. Because in verse 17 of chapter 6, "Behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die." Man says, "Oh, actually, those fossils in the ground, They're from millions and millions and millions and millions of years ago. Do you know why those fossils are in the ground? It's because of a great flood that God sent in judgment. But let me say this. The ark had one door. If you've seen these pictures sometimes of Noah chasing around with a butterfly net trying to catch things to take into the ark, it's not theologically correct. Because it tells me in the Word of God that the animals in twos were drawn to the ark. The monkeys came down the tree. The birds came from the air. They all came from all kinds of directions, but they all came. They were all drawn by God into the one door in the ark, and then God shut the door. And if you ever want a picture of salvation, there it is. You see, there's one door. Do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10? He said, I am the door. By me, Jesus, if anyone enters in, he shall be saved. He said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I'm sorry, I'm not PC. No, I'm not sorry at all. I want to tell you faithfully God's word. There is only one way that you and I can get to heaven, to meet with a holy God, knowing our sins are forgiven and forgotten, and that's trust in Jesus Christ, and it's through one door and one door alone. And the wonderful thing is this morning, and you'll see it when it comes to Noah's Ark, when it comes to Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot, when it comes to the second coming of Jesus Christ, every time God precedes judgment with opportunity, a loving opportunity. Do you know what we've got today? At Waldronfield, what is it, 7th, is it, of April, I forget the date. But here we have, we're still part of what God calls the day of grace, the day of opportunity. I can trust this God, this Saviour who's come and died for me on the cross. He's the door to heaven. He's the door to forgiveness. And I can trust him and I can know him. And I don't have to worry about judgment. I'm not worried about judgment. Standing in this pulpit this morning, oh, you say, Steve, you're very special. No, I'm not very special at all, if only you knew me. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. So I don't have to worry about judgment because I'm going to be taken to heaven when I leave this earth. If Jesus comes before he calls me, either way, I'm going to end up in heaven. And it's all because of Jesus. Because I'm trusting in the door, the only way, Jesus. You see, there's an ark of safety today for you and for me. God warns us. Jesus is coming again. And he says, I want you to know. You won't know exactly the date, but there is a time. I'm going to return. It's going to be sudden. The Bible tells us it'll be like a thief in the night. It'll be totally unexpected. We need to be prepared for that day. How can we be prepared? In all these days that preceded Noah's Ark, that precedes his return in 2019 UK, we can know a relationship with Jesus Christ and be know what it is to have the safety, spiritually speaking, of the ark, and know as a result we don't face judgment. When I see Jesus one day, he's not going to say, Steve, I'm glad you've turned up. I've got this long list here. Actual fact, it's going to take a long time. I've got all these sins that you committed on earth. There's loads of them. He's not going to tell me that. There are loads of sins. But he's not going to tell me that. He's going to welcome me home because he's not going to be my judge. He's going to be my saviour. And many of us can rejoice in that this morning. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be when Jesus comes back again. It's not easy living a Christian life, living a holy life, going against the grain of society, even going against the laws of the land. But we're called to put Jesus first. Trust him. Live for him day by day. Know the assurance of his presence. Know the assurance that this is God's word. Know for certain that one day we're going to a better place where all these rotten things will be gone forever. Won't that be great? Do you know my greatest longing? James often mentions it. If ever I write a book, I haven't written it yet, don't know if I ever will, but I know what the title will be. That's as far as I've got. It's this: Will I See You in Heaven? That's the title. Will I See You in Heaven? I might write it yet, God willing. That's my greatest longing. I'd hate to think that you came to Waldring Field and missed out on heaven. But we can know Jesus in this day of grace. But we need, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, will you underline your word to our hearts? We're so grateful that in a broken world, we can know the fact that we're standing on solid ground when we stand on the rock Christ Jesus. And whatever's going on round about us, we know that you know the end from the beginning. You're the eternal God. You're the Saviour of sinners. You're Lord of many of our lives. I thank you that we can trust you in these difficult days, knowing that one day our hope is certain in Christ. Thank you for your presence with us now. Thank you for the promise of being in your presence for all eternity if our trust is in you. Will you please do a work in our lives this morning that only you can do, we pray. And all for your glory. In Jesus' name.